VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Johannesburg. This is The Ruck, the podcast from The Times and The Sunday Times. All the podcasts you may or may not have followed in the past season, they've all given up the ghost. They're not represented in South Africa. They've all retreated to their attics for the summer. Well, it's midwinter here in Johannesburg. It's the Lions Tour, the most bizarre experience any of us have ever been on. But it is from Joburg. We're not guessing, we're on the spot. I've got an absolutely superb panel here, which can only be described as superb. On my left, well, it's not going to be telling you that because it's a podcast, is David Rogers, the world's most distinguished photographer in rugby. He's been snapping these Lions tours since 1980. How many years is that, Dave?
41 years.
He looked old when he started as well. Dave Rogers is with us from Getty Images. Also, a real treat, a tabloid giant, well, not in sort of height terms, but in terms of fame. Johnny Fordham, the rugby correspondent of The Sun. How could you possibly have two better people to discuss this shambles of a tour? God bless the Lions. But Dave, has this been the most weird thing you've ever done?
Yeah, it's a bit strange, isn't it?
No, I'm asking you that.
It is very, very strange. 41 years of covering the Lions. And we've tried to work out the other day, I think it's 2 years we've spent on Lions tours together, which is, and this is by far the strangest occasion I've ever witnessed.
Johnny, just talk us through our day yesterday when we had no idea that if the game was going to be on, who they were going to play, who was going to turn up and what would happen. Just give us some memories of the day from the time when the doubts began.
Well, blimey, where do you start with that? A unique day in it being another alcohol-free day for a Lions tour. Normally, you at least get a little glass of cleansing white, South African special for lunch. None of that, obviously, with this alcohol ban. So, you know, we're battling on. I think it was just after lunchtime that we got the shout that there were 5 positive COVID tests or COVID tests with close contacts. That then went up to 14. We were already at the stadium by then. Didn't know if there was a game or not. We'd had our COVID tests. And we waited a long, long time for the news. I mean, the Lions weren't even there. They had a race against time. So it was absolute carnage, really.
Dave, we've been to some great stadiums. But I have to say, with respect, that Ellis Park, when it's empty these days, is a bit of a mausoleum. It's seen better days. And to be there last night when they did play that absolutely ludicrous, ear-splittingly loud music for no apparent reason in breaks in play. But the stadium seemed better days. And yesterday, really, until the game was definitely on, and even after that, it just had a bizarre atmosphere.
It's hard to believe that that venue was the venue for the 95 World Cup final. You know, Francois Pienaar and Nelson Mandela and all that. And you know, yes, there's just no atmosphere at all. It's just a weird old place. I remember 1980, they actually took us around that stadium when they were building it. And we thought that was a state-of-the-art stadium. Now it's in just a state and the art's gone.
Photographers, they've got all the words, haven't they? Dave, in 1980, when you first started on Lions tours, how did you take photographs? Do you want those things where you have put a black hood over your head? Yeah. And how did you get the pictures back?
Yeah, we had those tripods and magnesium flash powder and all that sort of stuff, you know. You've seen Tommy Steele doing his bit, you know. No, not quite that bad, But we had to, shorten this very quickly, because you have to blacken out your bathroom to make it into a dark room. And we took all our chemicals and paper and enlargers. We would then go to the game, process the films, do 2 10x8 prints, dash off to the main post office in, say, Jeppy Street in Johannesburg. And you wouldn't go down in Jeppy Street, Johannesburg, in these days alone. And then we'd transmit that on a machine called a Muirhead, which was basically the side of a Ford Escort in those days. And that would then transfer a little 5-4 negative to Cable and Wireless office on the embankment. My boss in those days would drive down from the Midlands, pick up this 5-4 negative, take it round to a lab somewhere, print off 20 prints, and then physically take it to all the newspapers' desks, their picture desk, and say, these are just coming from Joburg. Well, the picture was taken about 5 hours before that, but it's all changed totally.
Johnny, let's bring things up to modern. Let's bring things up to the modern era. Social life on this tour. Joburg is not the most capricious and not the most the safest place, but plenty of opportunities to socialise on this trip. Or have we all been in our rooms most of the time with no drink, no restaurants open, no nothing?
For the benefit of everyone back at home, there's been zero socialising. So before we came out on this tour, we never knew what to expect, did we? We were being told that we might have to spend all our time in our rooms alone. I mean, we have breakfast in our rooms alone, obviously, unless you choose to bunk in with someone else that night. So yeah, breakfast for one on your own. And then, the same for your evening meal. Sometimes we manage to get a bite to eat outside, but that's only if we tuck ourselves away in the grand hotel that we're staying in here with no one else in it. So it's a strange, strange old tour. This is only my second tour. So I did New Zealand in 2017, which was my first one. And we had an absolute hoot over there. I mean, it was brilliant. You know, the tourism board took us around and, you know, they showed us everything. They treated us like royalty, really. They really shouldn't have. And I'm sure we probably disgraced ourselves along the way. But this one is, like you say, just absolutely like no other. And hopefully there's no other one like this as well.
Johnny, just tell me this. Yesterday, we were at this game and you were finding your copy for the Sun, a Lions game against the Sharks. Fair play to them. They really tried hard. And actually, we're only teasing a little bit about it. It is a really, really locked down country, but we're not being sniffy about it. We actually feel honoured to be here. But Johnny, yesterday you had this match. What were your chances of getting a piece in rugby on the front page and back page of the Sun? Because there was a small counter-attraction going on.
Yeah, I mean, the desk made me feel pretty special yesterday when they asked for 300 words, which for me is actually quite complicated and it generally takes a long time. Probably takes as much time as it did for Dave to process a photo in a 1980 on his first tour, to be fair. So, I mean, you know what? You know what's going to happen with this tour. It will erupt at some point. I mean, it is simmering, if that is the right word, or I don't know if it's simmering or not, but there's something bubbling around at the moment. I mean, it is very bizarre being here, but it's also actually feels quite special in a way.
Yeah.
It feels like, because the players, when you see the players and you see the, you know, that Sharks game you just mentioned there, they were so up for that. And they'd only just come out of their rooms. They'd been in their rooms all day. I mean, if that was me and someone just let me out of my room, I probably wouldn't be bothered to be running around in an empty stadium in a ghost town. But, you know, fair play to them. I mean, they did put on a show.
And Dave, you've always been quite close to the players because they will talk to you, and they're basically, players don't talk to journalists anymore. But you have to say that we're all joking apart. You must have an admiration, or we must have an admiration for the players. The Lions players, for just what Johnny said, they came off the bus and ran straight onto the field. They played with great passion and dedication, but also for the Sharks players, because not only did they get beaten, but did their best, they got to come back out again in some shape or form, the same team, or at least the same club, to do it again. So you have to say, people are mocking the tour and saying it should never have taken place. The players would disagree because they are really giving it everything.
Yeah, it's a bit of the old sort of keep calm and carry on spirit, isn't it? It's I admire the Sharks for doing it. I mean, they've got to play two games in, 4 days? I don't think it's ever happened before that we've played two provincial sides on the Lions tour consecutively. 1910, I missed that one. I was actually having my hair cut that day, so I couldn't go. I had hair in those. I had hair. He was a butcher, not a barber. I've never known, obviously, since, I didn't even know that, Johnny. So well done, mate. See, the Sun man comes through in the end. I knew he was good at something.
He's a statistical genius. Well, we don't want to be controversial, lads, but we were informed today that there are people who, and I'm not infringing anything here, who on the Lions tour, who came making it clear that they would not be vaccinated. They were anti-vaxxers. So some of them have only had one vaccine, some boost, some have had none at all. Dave and Johnny, this is such a tight tour. It is on the verge of collapse every time and may still collapse. Let's hope it doesn't. But surely, is it infringing personal freedoms to say you must either be vaxxed double or you cannot be a British Lion, British and Irish Lion, because you could cost us the whole tour?
Well, yeah, I'm a big believer in the vaccination system they've put in place. Certainly when you get over 60, you need all the help you can get to stay alive. I just find it a bit strange they don't want it, because they could have it and pass it on to all their colleagues. They're so close together in a unit. And he takes one and it goes through like wildfire. It just seems a bit strange they don't want to do it. But they take every other injection in a way, cortisone, they have that willy-nilly and play a game, but they won't have something that might save the life.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Garvey.
And I'm Fee Glover.
Off Air with Jane and Fee is going live.
We are taking to the stage at the amazing Crucible Theatre in Sheffield on Friday, the 31st of May.
It'll be a night full of surprises. We'll have a special guest, we'll involve you in the audience, and we'll embarrass ourselves. You really won't want to miss it.
Well, the surprise is we don't yet know what's in it, so it genuinely is a night of surprises.
Well, you've surprised me already. It's not just us. Our live show is part of an exciting new podcast festival called Crosswires, which is taking place in some really amazing venues across Sheffield from the 31st of May to the 2nd of June.
So other podcasters that you'll be able to see include Katie Price, Catherine Ryan, Ramesh Ranganathan and the original Adam Buxton. But there's also a whole host of free fringe events, family shows, surprise acts and after parties that Jane and I haven't yet been invited to.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Head to crosswires.live for tickets and more information.
We've seen two games, 50-point thrashings, and then the game against Japan, which was just a bizarre thing altogether. How on earth can Gatland have said that any progress has been made to choose the test team with 50-pointers and really no one under pressure?
Yeah, I don't think he's massively close right now, and he desperately needs these games. The Sharks game, the second Sharks game, that needs to happen. And when we get down to Cape Town again, there needs to be some kind of test for the players. I think the players that stood out, obviously, so far, guys like I thought Hamish Watson was fantastic the other night. Obviously, Josh Adams can't stop scoring. I think he's an absolute shoo-in for the test side. Van der Merwe against the Sharks, he looked good. He looks decent. He looks like a Gatland-type player. And there's a few guys that we haven't really seen too much of right now. Robbie Henshaw is obviously injured. Before we came on this tour, we would have put him straight in. And then another guy that probably we would have said, do you know what? He's nowhere near it right now, would have been Owen Farrell. But actually, I think that he's starting to show and starting to play like the Owen Farrell that we all know and have seen for England back in 2019 at the World Cup. So, yeah, there are guys that are definitely putting their hands up. But I'm sure there's guys kind of having rough, sleepless nights thinking, how am I supposed to prove myself against such poor opposition? I mean, it is tricky, and a couple of the guys have proven that you can do it, but I think that it's going to be some decisions are going to be so tight and so tough for them.
Yes, I think that there comes a stage where, I mean, Warren Gatland and all the other players, coaches, they're really going to have to go with what they already knew, I think. It is very difficult because the thing is, when someone's played magnificently, it is very difficult to validate it as a performance when you're up against someone who's not very good. And again, things are only going to get worse because God bless the Sharks for coming out again. But if they play the same team, they will be infringing every principle of player welfare. And it can only be their second team. The first team lost by 50. So it is, again, no one is blaming anyone for this. But there we go. Dave, you're closer than anyone to the action. In fact, you're the only person who's really close to the action on this tour. Who have you seen that was good? Johnny mentioned, quite rightly, Owen Farrell, Hamish Watson, who I got huge reservations over. Who have you seen from your vantage point on the touchline?
Yeah, well, I do agree with Johnny about Farrell. I think he's played really well. And he's a leader. You can see that. He actually takes over the leadership. In fact, as Johnny just said, he shouts more than Ian Henderson did yesterday, sort of motivating the side. I quite like Chris Harris. I thought he's played really well since he's been over here. But it's hard, as Steve just said, it's very hard to judge. That sounds awful, but they're not playing the high standards of teams. In the old days, you'd play Transvaal, Natal, Western Province, they'd all be stacked with Springbok players or whatever. But now you don't see anybody for ages. That half of them are kids. The captain, I think, is only just 20 yesterday. I think he played the captain of the Sharks yesterday was 20 years old. Good player, but he's only 20. He's going to take on him on again this weekend. I don't know if they're Sharks or Sharks are going to get eaten this weekend. Makes a bit of a change here in South Africa, but it's very hard to see when the opposition is not poor, but not the highest standard you could find.
Exactly. And again, it's another aspect of the horrific domination of the test matches in rugby. The great in both sides, both hemispheres, when the Southern Hemisphere came to us and vice versa, that some of the games like Munster, Cardiff, Newport, Llanelli, the north of England, some of these games were just fantastic. And I can remember even fairly recent Lions tours where those early games, Eastern Province, Western Province, were just phenomenal. And it is such a shame that the Springboks and all the other teams take so many players away into these ruddy, endless coaching squad sessions, and they never play for their clubs. I mean, blimey, and back in England, when Owen Farrell plays one game in three for Saracens. So that's a slightly separate point. Johnny, so little time left. How do you see the tour going? You've been investigating today the vaccination problems. It will be in the sun as we speak. Do you think it can go the course? Do you think it will go down to the third test match? Or do you see rocky road between now and then?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because having spoken to the Lions suits today, Ben Calverley, the managing director, they're obviously determined to get those tests on those three tests at the end. I mean, financially, those games are worth millions and millions of pounds to both South Africa and to the Lions, who are in desperate need of the finances. So it's absolutely critical that those tests go ahead. Whether or not another game falls by the wayside to accommodate a test match somewhere, it possibly could happen. I think that I think it's going to be the right thing to do to stay in Cape Town to minimise the COVID risks. I mean, I don't know whose bright idea it was to come into Gauteng to Johannesburg and Pretoria, where the pandemic is absolutely raging right now and hospitals are full to the brim, and people are dying in rising numbers. So it's a bizarre decision. I mean, I went down to the coast the other day. I went down to the home of the Sharks in Durban and given a great tour of that magnificent ground. And obviously you guys know King's Park well, and it's got, steeped in Lions history as well. And you think, blimey, look, the weather's beautiful. It was about 20 degrees. You're by the coast. You can spend your days outside. You can walk along the beach. It's a perfect kind of rugby tour city, really. I mean, in Joburg, you're kind of confined to your hotel. There's the altitude issues and everything else that comes with it, which makes it obviously daunting to play test matches in, but yeah, I think they've made a mistake by overlooking Durban, a place where they should have been at least once on this tour. I know they want to minimize travel, but if you can go to Pretoria and Johannesburg, then you can jump 50 minutes on a plane to Durban. I don't see what the problem there is.
John, it's very interesting you say that. You say that Cape Town is obviously the place to go. Does that mean you'll be in Cape Town all next week? Because there are rumours that certain people, and not mentioning you or anyone in this room, are decamping to the Indian Ocean and the lapping waters and high temperatures of Natal. But anyway, we won't press you on that one.
There's been a very kind offer from the Sharks to use Kings Park as a base and to work out of and everything else. So, you know, there's plenty of options. It's a Lions tour. You're supposed to be seeing the country, not just in Joburg, Pretoria and Cape Town. I mean, any old fool can do that.
Yeah, that's another poignant point, because it is a Lions tour, but it's not a Lions tour, as we all know. I'm going to come back to Johnny shortly, because Johnny came to the Oval Bowl game from football, and it's really difficult not to ask him about which he prefers, and also about England's fantastic achievement last night, which every European idiot country has taken revenge for Brexit by claiming that it wasn't a penalty when England could have won 10-0 anyway. But anyway, Dave, just pick out a highlight from us from your 47 Lions tours, because you've been uphill and down Dale. You've been to every small town, one horse town in the world, watching the Lions. What was your favourite tour?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that in a second. I just really can't missed the opportunity to reply to Johnny over there. A Lions tour, you'd normally stay with the Lions. Well, they're on tour and you're running away from them. Anyway, okay. My favorite, I've got two favorite Lions tours. Your first one's always a favorite, because you never know what to expect. And I certainly didn't know what to expect in 1980 in South Africa, apartheid days. And it was I wouldn't say fascinating, but it was challenging. And we hated the system down here. And we did our bit, I think, a little bit, to sort of shine the light on it, the problems down here. But I still enjoy the place. The people down here are wonderful. But 97 Lions too, and the same, both South Africa, 97 as well. There's obviously a common link here. I do come on holiday to South Africa quite a bit, and I should be working for the South African Tourist Board, but I don't. But the 97 was a bit special, because they made you part of the tour. And you've got to give great credit to Fran Cotton, the manager of the Lions tour. He just took us all, and he made us feel very, very special. And I've never had a game of rugby in my life. I'm not that stupid. But I felt as if I played for the Lions on that trip. I didn't, but it was great.
I've been on some Lions tours where it felt like you were playing for the Lions as well, Dave, actually. The other thing we should mention is, first of all, obviously, listeners to this, and we do get huge numbers on Lions and World Cups, that God, you've been missed horribly. I know so many people listening, so many, we all know friends, relatives, we know thousands and thousands of people who are going to come down here, and half the tour has been taken away in your absence. It's not a financial thing. People saved up for years for this, and I know people who were keep the faith. Australia's in 4 years, and let's hope everything's free then for free movement and everything. So you've been sadly missed, boys and girls, men and women, and hopefully you're watching it, and hopefully for you on TV it does come to a conclusion. Just mention the Oval Bowl sport. Johnny, you sneaked over from football. Mind you, you used to cover at Reading. I'm not quite sure if you'd call that football, but it was a big move for you. Did you find it a cultural shock having to wear smart clothes and speak to players more often, or have you enjoyed it? Do you buy into rugby sort of atmosphere, or basically are you always looking for a job back in football?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, it's been really tricky learning how to use a knife and fork now I've come over to rugby. Do you know, it's interesting, you're talking about Dave talking about there being part of the Lions tour and feeling like he was a Lion. I mean, so my first football manager was Brendan Rodgers. And he was, he'd just come from Watford to Reading, and I was working for the Reading Post at the time. And my word, he was the best coach I've ever worked with as a journalist, because he was brilliant. You know, I used to speak to him every other day on the phone. It was fantastic. And it was a great kind of start in journalism to have that. And then working for Reading, for the Reading Post, it felt like you were kind of part of that as well. And I absolutely loved that. I really did love that. Brendan Rodgers and Brian McDermott were absolutely fantastic with me. and still, you know, still keep in touch with them and text from time to time, which is great. So, but then, yeah, to choose between rugby and football, I mean, look, there's things that I absolutely love about football, and there's things that I absolutely love about rugby, and obviously vice versa. I hate them as much as I love them at times. So, yeah, the thing about a Lions tour, though, is that the Lions tour, I think, is the closest you get to a kind of having a football, that big match atmosphere. That Wellington game in 2017, second test in New Zealand. I mean, my word, that stadium was shaking. I've never been to a rugby match when the stadium's shaking. You know, it's generally the swing low at Twickenham, and that's about it. That's about all you hear. But, you know, I don't know how many Lions fans were in that day, 40,000 Lions fans, and it felt like you were at a football World Cup final. It was just absolutely incredible. I mean, rugby was my sport at school, and I actually hate to admit it, but I actually played at Berkshire level with James Haskell, and then he went slightly further up the pyramid than I did. But I discovered other things when I was age 16, so, and I was pleased with that. But no, rugby or football, I mean, this Lions tour should have been like, you know, it's like a World Cup. It should have been like that. And you mentioned the such a shame that there's no fans here, because it just creates such a fantastic atmosphere, and it just makes it what it is. It's just not the same without them. It's such an easy thing to say, but it's just so, so true.
Very well spoken, Johnny. Also, you made another point there about the communication with your football managers. I just don't wonder whether people out there listening to the Rut realise how little communication there is between the professional rugby game and the media, who actually, we may be, as Ian Botham described us, a bunch of, was it, idiots in 30 bob suits or whatever he said, but we are a sort of conduit, or we're meant to be a conduit, and that link is really struggling at the moment, because of it's like trying to get an audience or information out of the Kremlin, which is really sad. That goes for possibly not the Lions as much as anyone, but certainly the national teams and clubs. Also, I think the Lions know exactly where we stood, because last night we were rushing back in the car. Basically, it was beyond curfew, and we had our passes, but the police didn't know that, and we were expecting to be stopped every minute. So we were driving through the totally deserted streets of this gigantic city, really berating the Lions media setup, the chief executive, the lot of them. It was only later we realised that Johnny had tuned into the post-match media conference, and everything we said was booming across Ellis Park. So at least their Lions are no longer in any doubt as to where they stand. It's very difficult, because we're speaking to you. You'll be listening to this in the morning on a Friday. By that time, maybe there'll be some other scandal or some other thing that tries to derail this tour. Let's hope and pray it goes ahead. I'm going to ask for a god of the tour to date from both Dave, and it can be anyone on or off the field. We always finish the reckon this way. A god of the tour from Dave and Johnny. Dave Rogers, who is your god of the tour?
That's a tough one, isn't it? God of the tour, so far, is going to be a goddess. It's the lady who brings my breakfast every morning, night on time, and asks me what eggs, how I want my eggs cooked and all that sort of stuff. She's great. I've only had one meal in a week with somebody else, and that was on the flight over here. So I'm quite happy to have a bit of company.
I had some female company today. Yeah, one of the girls I coach at Maidenhead Iron Maidens, Rory, her mum lives in Joburg, and we had a very pleasant coffee. Johnny, over to you. Tour god of the tours to date.
It has to be all my brand new friends at the Sharks for accommodating myself and Gavin Mayers from the Telegraph on Monday this week and showing us around there. Chief exec Exeter, former player of the Sharks and Beer Ritz as well, were just incredible. He welcomed us into the boardroom. He took us around the stadium. He took us on the pitch. He showed us everything. He told us everything. And it was just such a lovely, warm welcome from a club and a chief executive who'd never spoken, seen or heard about us before until we got in touch with him. So that was just absolutely fantastic. And hopefully more of that to come, because that's what rugby's about, I think.
Yeah, and I'm going to go for someone obvious, really obvious, really, and that's Warren Gatlin, because Warren, he could be forgiven for taking on a look that was so beleaguered that he was almost unrecognisable. Now and again, you just feel for the guy. He's sort of sweating up, and some of the things he's had to go through is unbelievable. But actually, to the way he comes up and fronts up and at least gives us a semblance of honesty about the whole thing is just wonderful. But you sense that the players are responding to him as well. The Lions are struggling. The rugby is struggling out here. The country is struggling. The economy, the population. But actually, there is something about it. And as Johnny said earlier, it actually feels a privilege to be here, as well as an absolute shambles. And we never know where you are. But there's also something special about being on this Lions tour, just like all the others. But on this one, for different reasons. Thanks a million to everyone for listening. We'll be back soon. And we'll be, as we were today, we'll be coming straight from, I was going to say the horse's mouth, but we'll be straight from the lion's mouth in Joburg and then Cape Town. Wherever they go, we'll be following.
The train is now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, Road Station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.